Good evening. It's September 7th, 2015. This is the meeting of the Pacifica National Board Elections Committee. I'm the chair, Bob Lederer, and our secretary, Michael Novick, will now please call the roll.
Teresa Allen, KPFT. Jim Brown, WPFW.
Present.
Maria Elena Castellanos, KPFT. Janet Coleman, WBAI. Marion Douglas Ngaro, WPFW.
I'm here.
Jose Luis Fuentes Roman, KPFA. Tej Graywell, KPFK. Mark Hernandez, KPFA. Cynthia Johnson, KPFA.
Present.
Janet Coburn, KPFA.
Present.
Bob Lederer, the chair from WBAI, is here. Frank Lefevre, WBAI. This is Michael Novick, secretary from KPFK. Lawrence Reyes, KPFK.
Present.
Serene Roberts, WBAI. I thought I heard her on the line earlier. Nancy Saibar Naritomi, KPFT.
Present.
Peter Tucker, WPFW.
He'll be on shortly.
Okay. Well, if Serene is still on, that's nine. If she's not, that's only eight.
Okay.
Did you hear Nancy?
Nancy can barely hear you. Can you adjust your phone at all?
Fine. Can you hear me now?
A little better. Just speak as loud as you can, please.
Okay.
Did you want to say something?
No.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, since we're almost at quorum, I guess what I can start with, at least until we get quorum, is just to read out loud the draft agenda, and but we'll wait till we have quorum to actually discuss it. First is a motion that Serene has put forward concerning the seating of the newly elected delegates, LSB members, proposing 10 minutes on that motion. And I believe the time sensitivity has to do with the fact that there's two LSBs meeting this week, and this might affect decisions that they might make or might want to consider in any case. Number two is report from the National Election Supervisor on next steps in the election process, including Q&A and discussion. I'm suggesting 30 minutes for that. Three is the motion on Spanish language election programming and carts that Michael Novick has offered, proposing 15 minutes for that. And fourth, setting the next meeting date for this committee for taking 5 minutes for that. So, while we wait for quorum, does anyone want to add any other agenda items?
Janet Kay.
Go ahead.
Well, I don't know if this should be added, but I wanted to know for the seating of a new board, by when would, the new elected / reelected LSB members would need to be notified of
that's,
the meeting.
That's exactly
and
what.
And so, by when would
right.
they need to be notified?
That's exactly what Serene's motion addresses. So maybe you can take the couple minutes we have if you're at a computer, and take a look at her motion, because it answers.
Well, I did, but I didn't see that in terms of noticing.
No, it's notice is in there, but
it is.
Know, yeah, but if you think it needs to be sharpened or clarified, then maybe you can look at possible amendments or whatever.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. All right. So, does anyone else have anything to add to the agenda? Okay.
We still have not had cards started at KPFT, although the LES announced last week that cards would start today. I haven't heard a single card yet, so we have a little bit of time about cards and that together.
Okay, well, that's definitely a question you can direct to Elle Joy when she gets on the phone. But I should tell you, Nancy, I'm still having trouble understanding you because of the phone connection. So if there's any way
Sounds like she's in a tunnel or something.
Right. If there's any way you can switch location or switch phones or something, it would make it a lot easier to hear you. Who just joined? Did someone just join the call?
Sounded like they did.
Just going to have to wait till we have quorum.
Is it possible, this is Marion in Washington, is it possible to share something that's not immediately election committee related, but it's related to our...
Sure, given that we don't have anything else to talk about, go ahead.
Okay, well, this is a unique situation in the entire United States, which Washington, D.C. occupies that situation, that position. Washington has been the first jurisdiction, the first geographic location jurisdiction to be admitted to the Unrepresented Nations and Peoples Organization, which is known as UNPO, which is based in Brussels, Belgium, because we are shut out of the U.S. Senate and effectively also the House of Representatives. And Congress has an oversight committee that overrules, can control how we use our own locally collected tax dollars, and also to go against, which they have done, what we vote for, our own local referenda. So this happened about a month or so ago, and the website for UNPO, Unrepresented Nations and Peoples Organization, which is independent, it's not part of the UN or anything, it's just simply UNPO, UNPO.org. And so now Washington, D.C. is alongside various unrepresented or oppressed ethnic groups, minority populations from different parts of the world. That's an unusual situation for any country, especially a Western country, and, but this is a situation for Washington within the U.S.
Okay, well, that's good to know. Thank you very much, Marion, for the information.
You're welcome.
Who just joined?
Shireen.
Okay, that makes quorum, so... that's Serene Roberts, WBAI. So we'll begin. We'll vote on the agenda now. I just read it out. You don't need to hear it, do you, Serene?
No, thanks.
Okay. All right.
Janet Kay, point of order.
Go ahead.
Can we do a? I'm sorry. I was going a roll call, but I guess. What you're saying is
we did
a roll call.
Yeah.
And then now we have... Okay, sorry.
Right. Yep. Okay, so is there any objection to the agenda as read? Hearing none, the agenda is adopted. So the first item is the motion on the seating of LSB members. Serene, do you want to take it?
Okay, so...
Janet Kay, I'd like to be on the stack.
Sure. Go ahead, Serene.
I sent the motion out to everyone about a little more than half an hour ago. Sorry about the lateness, guys.
I'm sorry. Can you adjust your phone? You're a little muffled.
Center. Okay, hang on. Is this better?
A little, yeah.
Really? It's like right up on my mouth.
Yeah, no.
Let me take you guys off speaker, huh?
Yeah, that is better. Go ahead.
Okay. So the whole point is that since I'm not, well, I guess I could read it. It's not that long. Whereas elections, notice of seating of 2016 delegates, whereas elections have been extended to January 4th, 2016 at KPFK, KBFT, and WBAI, and whereas the NES has advised that local station board results at KPFA will take approximately 1 week from the close date of December 4th, 2015 to tabulate, and it is not yet known how many days it will take from the close of court date of January 4th, 2016 to sum up.
Can you slow down a little bit, please?
Oh, sure. Do you have the motion, too?
Oh, okay. You're just reading what we already got. Okay, thank you.
Yeah, yeah. But I'll slow down anyway. From the court date of January 4th, 2016 to simultaneously tabulate the results of KPFK, KPFT, and WBAI. And whereas, regardless of whatever else is happening, currently serving delegates who have been on their boards continuously since seating after the December 2009 elections are automatically off of their LSBs and cease to be delegates on the eve of their sixth anniversary. And a list of those in that position is below, entitled Delegates Near Term Limit, with original seating date. We recommend that the current chairs of KPFA, KPFKs and KPFT and WBI delegates assemblies and the local station boards should cause provisional notice, see below, customized by station to be sent to the candidates via the local election supervisor, and the notice should be copied to the compliance officer, Otis McQuay, and the foundation secretary. Both email addresses are provided there. And then that's really the end of the formal motion. It goes on to, in terms of what we're voting on, the others are just statement of facts, which is for KPFA, the election closed. That should be past tense now. December 4th, 2015, the meeting is set for December 12th. We suggest a regular meeting with the current population on December 12th and another meeting for later in the month to seat new delegates and elect officers. For KPFT and WBAI, elections will close on January 4th. Both are scheduled to hold meetings on December 9th. That says, yeah, okay. And those meetings should be held as usual. Unless at that December meeting, those meetings are coming up on Wednesday, the board decides otherwise, then the January 13th meeting should be held. And these provisional notices should be provided to all the candidates at least a week ahead of the meeting. But because it's the end of the year and people get very busy, it should really happen before or as soon as possible. For KPFK, the election closes on January 4th. They have meetings posted right now for the 20th and 27th. One, I don't know if that's an error, but that's not our problem. Unless the board decides otherwise, the January 2016 meeting should be held. And again, provisional notices should be sent as soon as possible, but no later than a week before the meeting. For KPFA, which will be meeting on the 12th, again, I don't know what their plan is. The plan may be to have a second meeting. Well, they have time to have a second meeting. Those notices, again, need to go out at least 7 days before the next meeting. And the provisional notices, I'm sorry, and for KPF, where's KPFA? For KPFK, I don't think we necessarily, I mean, unless someone's confused about the contents, we don't actually need to read each of them. It's customized based on the date that their body will be meeting. And there are certain number of staff and listener delegates who will be term limited in the month of December and will be off their boards regardless of whether or not the current elections are completed. And the list is there for each of the five stations.
Are you finished, Serene?
Pretty much.
Okay.
I'm still looking at it, so.
Okay. Janet?
Yeah, so regarding KPFA, where the election close date was December 4th, Friday, and the suggestion is that a regular meeting take place with the current population on December 12th, this coming Saturday. Another meeting later in the month to seat new delegates and elect new officers. There are at least two issues. One has to do with the current current population, which say for the December 12th meeting, one of the LSB members terms out or has termed out already, and we. Assuming that the 2015 election will not have been certified by then, so that meeting will have to take place, by the way, because the bylaws, proposed bylaws amendments would need to be voted on. So, I mean, there's an issue about what to do with that current population. But the only date for another meeting in December to seat the new board would be December 9th because of the holidays. You know, the KPFA LSB meets on Saturdays, so the only other Saturdays would be December 16th or December 23rd, both on in the middle of the holidays. Just to note that in after the 2012 election, the new LSB members were seated in January 2013. The new LSB members for KPFA, they were not seated in December. In any case, I would like to amend this motion to say that in addition to the currently seated LSB members, all LSB candidates are to be notified at least 7 days in advance of the meeting to seat the new LSB members.
That's what the motion says.
Right. Okay. So in any case, based on what my understanding is that for the December 12th KPFA LSB meeting, all 19 candidates were not notified of the meeting, and so that's, you know, that would be a problem.
I'm sorry, can you simplify your like all over the place? Can you simplify your amendments and make them individual?
Excuse me, I am speaking, and I would like not to be interrupted. So my concern has to do with when would a meeting other than December 12th be scheduled to seat the new board for KPFA, and also when would all the candidates be notified about that meeting?
Okay, so were those questions for Serene?
Or whoever
on
this committee.
All right, who would like to address that?
I'm sorry, the reason I intervened before is because I couldn't figure out where she was going. The whole purpose of the motion, and it says that, if you read the notice, it says specifically that all candidates via their local election supervisor, who has everyone's email addresses, will be notified, will be sent the provisional notice. And for KPFA, the provisional notice says, I'm rolling down to it, Pacifica practice is to provide written notice, date, time, and quote, place, because we know the place might be a phone call, to all board members 7 days before, 2 days before, and on the day of governance meetings. Therefore, this provisional notice of the next KPFA local station board meeting is being provided to all candidates, and it leaves room for the day, month, date, et cetera, the time, the location. And if, in fact, the delegates meeting will be held at the same time or on the same day, then that should also be specified. And it says, should you be successful in the election, you're expected to be present at those meetings. So the intention, the whole point of the motion is to provide notice. Now, we are, this is the first time we're doing this ballot process online. So while the NES estimated that it should be completed by the 11th, it doesn't mean that it will be certified and not challenged by the 11th. So to say to someone now, oh, go and invite everybody to show up on the 12th, doesn't make sense. Further, there's no requirement that they be seated at the first meeting in December, simply that they be seated at a meeting in December. And since the LSB is meeting on the 12th, they can take up a decision to meet at another day and time for the seating. You can't say that we can only meet on a Saturday. Exceptions will have to be made because the circumstances are different. Whatever, however, you know, you guys will vote on it. That's the process. You raised another question, but there were so many things happening. What was the other question?
Janet Kay, may I respond?
Yes.
So the other question has to do with the LSB member who terms out, who has already termed out, actually.
And who's that?
Andrea Pritchett.
Okay. She was seated on January 11th, 2010.
No, she was seated on December 5th, 2009.
Okay.
Initially.
I thought I was answering your question. Let me know when you're done.
Well, she was seated on December 5th, 2009. That was her initial seating. Therefore, 6 years would be elapse prior to December 12th.
Okay. According to the information on kpfa.org, there was no meeting in December 2009, so no one could have been seated. And
there was a meeting in December.
Janet, hold on. Let her finish her statement, and then you can respond.
I provided the links, the two URLs with regard to the December 2009 meeting. If that information is incorrect, then you might want to bring it to your board officer's attention. But the information and the two, that's the very last thing in the post that I sent to the list. So you guys can put that URL in your browser and check for yourself. It says there was no meeting in December 2009. And then it says that on January 2010, that's when people were seated. So that's the basis for my statement that her term, she would be term limited on January 11th, 2010. So if you have information that you want to send to the body showing that she's already term limited, then please feel free to do so.
I've already done that a gazillion times. In any case. Whatever.
Okay, so would anyone else like to address this motion? This is a motion for consideration by the committee to recommend to the PNB. So we hopefully will get to vote on it tonight since it's time sensitive in relation to the two LSBs that are meeting this week. Anyone else? All right, so if there's no further discussion, let me ask, is there an objection to this motion?
Janet Kay.
Go ahead.
I object.
Okay, do you want to offer an amendment that might alleviate your objection?
Not at this point, I just...
Okay, that's fine. All right, then Michael, please call the roll.
I'm sorry, I have a question.
Go ahead.
Even if Ms. Pritchett is term limited already, this meeting that Janet is talking about that isn't reflected on what I saw. Even if she's term limited, all that means is that the LSB should decide if she's going to be replaced or if they, since they're talking about 2 weeks or whatever for the results, whether it's even going to be an issue by the time the LSB meets again. This thing that's being raised now can be raised at the meeting as if she shows up as to whether or not she's able to participate. It can be raised with the people who were directly involved 6 years ago and hopefully are, you know, far more familiar with the situation than anybody, you know, any of the rest of us around the country. So I don't understand why that would be an objection, but...
Point of information, Chair.
Hang on 1 second, Lawrence. Yeah, okay. Go ahead, Serene.
I just, what I'd like us to do is to both agree to pass this on to the PNB, but also to, upon passage, send it to, have our secretary send it to the LSB chairs and delegates assembly chairs who are going to be meeting on Wednesday. The PNB is not meeting again until Thursday, and even then that's a special meeting and they may not be taking up, you know, other issues.
Okay, go ahead, Lawrence.
So what I would like is for just the gist of the motion, just what it means in plain English, because I'm a little confused. So in order for me to inform my vote, I would like to be respectfully ask Serene just to give the gist of the motion, please.
Okay, so... what we're saying is that we recognize that the election timeline is off because 3 of our stations are extended, and even for the 1 station that ended on the originally scheduled date, the results may not be in time. In fact, the results definitely were not in time for new people to be notified. So they'll have to be submitted later. And we're just setting up a process so that those people get as much notice as possible, but certainly no fewer than the 7 days that are required.
Okay, thank you. All clear.
Okay, Serena.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Yes, so I had sent this committee and others the minutes of the December 5th, 2009 LSB meeting, which specifies who was seated on the board and who was elected as officers. I've sent that and I can send it again, but.
We finished?
For KPFA, yes.
Okay.
No, Michael, do the stack.
Go ahead, Michael.
And Bob, this is Pete Tucker. Sorry I joined late. We had a late finance.
That's okay. Welcome. Go ahead, Michael.
Okay, my understanding is the general purpose of this motion is to provide provisional notice to prospective all the candidates, because we don't know who's going to be certified as a winner, of the next meeting, and have a common policy for the different stations depending on when those meetings are. I don't understand why that has anything to do with the question of who is termed out or not. So for KPFA, the December 12th scheduled meeting does not provide sufficient notice. Therefore, the KPFA LSB has to decide whether to have an additional meeting in December or a meeting in January at which people will be seated. And so none of that is related to the question of who's termed out. So I think that basically this motion says that whenever the meetings are scheduled to seat new board members, that all the candidates be notified in advance of those meetings, because we're not sure if the certified results will be available in time to give sufficient notice to have those meetings. Is that correct? Summary?
Serene, is that correct?
Yeah, we just want to make sure everybody who could possibly be a delegate knows
when their seating might happen if they win. That's it.
Okay, we're
Janet Kish.
All right, very briefly, because now we're at time on this item, but go ahead, Janet.
Well, I mean, one of the issues is that assuming when it comes to KPFA, for example, certification has not occurred for the 2015 election, we have a situation where we'll have a board meeting, an LSB meeting, and one of the LSB members will have termed out, and what to do about that. And I thought that was also part of this motion.
Okay. I think since we are out of time and we really have a lot of other pressing business, we should just go to a vote on this motion. So I believe everyone's heard it read. So, Michael, would you please call the roll?
Can you read it one more time?
Serene, why don't you just read the action part, not the whereases?
Yeah.
Just in the interest of time.
Okay.
We recommend.
Sorry?
Yeah, from we recommend.
Yeah. We recommend that current chairs of KPFAs, KPFKs, KPFTs, and WBIs delegates, assemblies, and local station boards should cause provisional notice below, customized by station, to be sent to candidates via the local election supervisor. Notice should be copied to the compliance officer and foundation secretary. That's pretty much it.
Okay.
Janet K., point of information?
Yes.
So in terms of a meeting happening in December, what if a meeting could not happen in December?
Serene?
Why shouldn't a meeting happen in December? I don't understand.
Just that there has been a precedent in the past where that has not happened, and the meeting to seat new board members happened in January.
Okay. Meetings are scheduled right now on KPFTX for each local station board. I don't understand why we would assume that something would happen to prevent that, but if something earth-shattering were to happen, I suppose people will pick themselves up, get it together, and call a meeting for another time. I mean, where are we going with this? We've argued these points how many times?
Okay, we really need to move to the vote.
Okay.
So, go ahead, Michael, call the roll, please.
Jim Brown? How do you vote on the motion?
Yes.
Marianne Douglas Ngaro?
Yes.
Cynthia Johnson?
Abstain.
Janet Coburn?
No.
Bob Lederer?
Yes.
Michael Novick, I vote yes. Lawrence Reyes?
Yes.
Serene Roberts?
Yes.
Nancy Salvador Naritomi? Nancy? Pete Tucker?
Yes.
Coming back to Nancy Salvador Naritomi, are you on the line? Maybe muted? No, I consider that a pass. All right, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 yeses, 1 no, 1 abstain.
Okay, thank you. So the motion is adopted, and now we're going on to the next item. And let me ask for someone to keep time. Would someone please volunteer?
Reluctantly.
Okay, thank you, Serene.
What is this, 20 minutes?
This item is 30 minutes. It's a report from the National Election Supervisor and
okay.
Q&A. So, Eljoy, are you with us?
I am.
Thank you so much for joining us. And the floor is yours.
Okay. So let me start by, this. I did not get a written report in advance as I was finishing it. And the reason why I'm on this call a little later is finally got to talk to the vendor about a number of things. And so I was on the call with the vendor. And so now that I have some updated information, I'm just going to hold my written report until tomorrow morning and send it with complete information to the full board. Okay, you cannot talk while I'm updating people. Thank you. Send it with the full board. Send it to the full board and this committee as well so that my update can be complete. Otherwise, it would not have complete information, and I was holding it all day to be able to confirm some final things from the vendor, which they still have to send me this evening. So I'm going to start with the easy stuff and then end with, the one item that I'm getting the most questions on, which is the ballot count process and observers.
Eljoy, can I just ask you, do you want to break it up into sections, or do you want to do the
whole thing? No, because for a lot of the other stuff, it's just quick updates.
Okay.
And so we can just do them all together.
Okay.
So the first thing, just for WBAI and KPLT, their updates are generally the same, as you know, and seeing the notices, the election has been extended at WBAI, KPFT, and KPFK. I sent the memos on those to this committee and the full board when those decisions were made. Obviously KPFK was extended, and we knew the reason why on that. At WBAI, there was a question as to why, that was done before the close of the or the election date, and it's because based upon the rate of ballots that were coming in and votes cast online, it did not appear that quorum would have been met by that date, and it seems from, at least from the online numbers, that that is correct, or that assessment was correct. For KPFT, we waited a little later. It was actually made a little closer to the original deadline, and that was because it did appear that they could have made quorum on that day, but we just waited a little longer. I didn't want to do it too early because, as you know, the bylaws only allow for me to do, to extend the election if quorum is not met. And so that's why, while ironically I got emails about calling WBAI too early, I also got calls about calling KPFT too late. But that's just the explanation as to why those decisions were made on that. So for both of the stations at WBAI and KPFT, the archives of the candidate forms were missing from the site. Both of the LESs are touching base with the station on that as to the reason why. Obviously, we don't control that, but they're contacting them. I know in one instance it was corrected at WBAI. I know it's still an issue, and so the LESs are working to do that. And then lastly, thanks for those who alerted me on the new carts that were cut, some of which had outdated information. And so I reviewed the scripts that the LESs were using and made sure the information is up to date. So they should be recording those new carts to make sure that that information is correct. So that's for WBAI. Okay. At KPFK, where, as you know, I've had to take over operations there, we know the election has been extended. I have new carts, all new information carts uploaded. I was originally having some problems with audio port and, touch base with someone, and now I think I found the issue. And so we can upload that, as well as I'm actually going to put up the script for the cart and send them around, and particularly for staff, it's just basic announcements about the elections, particularly at KPFK, to be read at the station, since it's so much time went by without information. I did receive email finally from station management that the archives of the candidate forums were actually put up, and so those will be put on the site in the morning as well. Links to those. Took a couple of some time to get those, as some of you may have known. There was the on-air candidate forums ran all of last week in the evening, and so the archives of those will be up. Worked out, still have the issue of the candidate carts at KPFK. Again, the issue is that there is no way for them to print out how carts are being played. So I actually need volunteers at KPFK, you know, to go to KPFK to check the machine, the one computer and the one program apparently that can display the that the cards for and the promos were played. So I'm actually going to send around an email looking for volunteers to go in and check for those as well. I found the Spanish language cards that were cut. I was able to go through email and find those. I spoke with one of the board members who brought up this issue, Rodrigo, about volunteers to actually listen to them and review them to make sure, because there was some back and forth discussion about them being cut, about the new time, or about the them being edited incorrectly. And obviously, since I don't speak Spanish, I need volunteers to review them. Rodrigo it says that he has a number of people who can volunteer to help with that, as well as translating the cards that we have into Spanish. So we touched base yesterday over the phone on that, and so have put a plan together in addition to some additional activities that we could do to help promote the election during the Spanish language hours. Also for KPFK, as in all of the stations, there will be the LESs and will be at the station in the final day to accept ballots and set up space for people to vote. And so for that, I will physically be at KPFK probably starting January 2nd. Well, that's when I fly in, so hopefully I can get there, and we'll be there to physically do the last days at the station. Additional update is for the checks that or donations that came with ballots. Those were sent with a tracking number to each of the stations by priority mail, and they'll be, you know, the next round will be sent, you know, before the election is done as well. So that's some quick updates on those. All right, the ballot count process and observance. So before I start this process, or before I give this update, I beg of you to listen to the report listen and not, you know, just please listen. I have received a number of emails and calls about this, some of which are you know, within right, and then some which, you know, through this whole process I've been talking about the, you know, small few who have abusive language and actions, and particularly in a time where, you know, conservatives are attacking me because I called Trump a racist, also getting calls in the same day calling me, you know, all kinds of names about the observers is not, just not good. So just please listen to this update regarding the ballot count process and observers. So, or practice active listening, I should say. So on the board call, I'm going to give you the update and the process that I gave on the full board call about how the process would run with the vendor. Okay, so how the ballot processing worked, and this is what the update that I gave to the full board, is that at the close of the election, that all paper ballots would be scanned into a digital file. So every single piece of paper or every single ballot and piece of paper that is sent back for the election is going to be scanned into a digital file, okay, and then entered into the vote system to do the final tally. The vendor would then produce their report on each round with the final results. Additionally, they're producing a raw data file that's compliant with the Choice Plus software and that has the voter verified audit trail, which I've talked about since the beginning of this process in picking this vendor, as well as the there's one column that has whether the vote was an online vote or a paper ballot vote. And then I mentioned the digital file of every single ballot returned. So the report that the vendor produces with the round-by-round results, a raw data file that has each of the votes done, both paper and online, with the coordinating column and the audit, the verified audit trail, and then the digital file of every single ballot return. And as I said on the call, all of these documents would then be put on the elections website at the close of the election, so that a recount, an audit, or all of that can be done, because we would have all of the information and every piece of paper, every ballot returned that we could review. Okay, so that is the report that I gave. So now the question regarding observance. So here is where the disconnect happened, and then, and yes, this is my issue of not following up, or my fault for not following up. Those on the committee, particularly since I've been given reports to this committee, remember that before we finalized the process before the ballot went out, I mentioned that we would have to coordinate doing counting ourselves. And I gave that very explicit update of coordinating doing the ballot count and the observers and everything at each of the stations, and that we were looking for locations. We had actually opened the PO boxes already. We had done that process. Following that, I was able to, and I then followed up and reported to the committee and to the board, that I was able to negotiate with the vendor for them to do the processing and the counting for us at no additional cost, when normally they charge per ballot returned in order to do that, but I had negotiated for them to do that for free. In so doing, I neglected to follow back up with the observer process, that since they were going to do the actual count. Now, how they do the processing and the count, as I put in the previous written report, was that they had their staff, open and process each vote into the system, and then they have another person follow behind them to check the work to verify the same thing, all of which is in the final report. That is sent and is verifiable in terms of transparency and checking, because we have all of the ballots that are sent back to check their work and do a recount. So when I followed up again with them regarding the observer process, I mentioned that I would follow up with that. They were very hesitant about that. And in talking with him, the owner of the company, not even the case manager today, since the company has existed, they have never had observers of their account process, particularly because of the transparency and information that they provide for the account, and that they have the double bat of verifying work, and that majority of their or all of their clients, because they've never had observers in the process, appreciate that they use impartial people to do the counting so that there's no altering of the process. So saying all of that to say, for KPSA, the reason why I didn't I was waiting to respond to the request about the observer is because I was waiting for the vendor to get back to me. I was emailing and calling. And it turns out in their hey, to get me the results as quickly as possible, they processed everything already today for KPFA. And so the only thing that they haven't done is the ballots that were received on the day of the election at KPFA that was sent with, observers went with the LES to send those by priority mail. Those are the only things that haven't been added to the system. So by the vendor's estimation, they should have the final results for... They should have, providing that they get the priority box tomorrow or Wednesday morning, the earliest they could have the results for KPFA would be Wednesday evening, Thursday morning. So in the follow-up conversation with him and with them about the remainder of the station and about observers in the process, we should do one of two things, which is do the same process, which they did for KPFA, and having workers do the count, a second group of workers follow behind them to check the work with all of the, you know, files of, you know, the digital file of each ballot, the report, the audit, voter verified audit trail, all of that information. Or what they do is then we would have to coordinate a training process for individuals to actually enter the paper results into the system. We would have to do training, have coordinate staff or volunteers to actually enter the information into the system and produce the results from there, which would delay the process in getting the results back in a timely fashion for the end of the election, because they estimate they spend about 3 minutes per ballot, paper ballot, to verify the system, and then three minutes per ballot per person to enter the information. So that is the update for the ballot count and observer process. They do not have the capability for folks to actually physically come to their space to observe. The option would be that they would collect the information and then we would have to conduct the count ourselves, which is basically entering it back into their system to produce the final result.
Okay, are you finished?
I am.
Thank you very much. Okay.
Janice
so,
K.
All right, let me just ask who else wants to ask questions.
Marion?
I'm sorry, I heard a male voice after Janet.
Lawrence, it was Lawrence.
Lawrence, okay, and then Marion, and who else?
Nancy.
Okay, we'll take more afterwards. Start with Janet.
Okay, so Joy, everything you've said about what the vendor has done in the past or with regards to KPFA has been based on what the vendor has told you, so there's been no other input into that. I hope that simply voting is more than just a cottage industry with a slick website and perhaps operating out of the home of one of its three management team members, Brett Schofield, their elections director who resides in Eugene, Oregon. I have asked you numerous times what the street address of Simply Voting is so that, as has been the customary practice, which should have been dealt with prior to, you know, early on, outside observers can witness the ballot processing, yet you have not responded to my request for their street address. It's enough that we have embarked on black box electronic voting, but I hope this committee and the members of all the stations, the listener and staff members of all the stations, have not given up on transparent democratic elections of the of its board members. So it sounds like there will not be in-person ballot processing at Simply Voting in Eugene, Oregon, especially when it comes to the KPFA-LSB election. And this is, to me, outrageous. I'd like your comments on that.
Sure. So, one, I've reported previously, even early in the process, that Simply Voting, the company, is based in Canada. And we've had that, you know, discussion before, because there was a question as to why we were using a company that was based in Canada and whether or not the ballots would be mailed to Canada. So I distinctly remember that conversation. So Simply Voting is based in Canada. And I also mentioned that when they do elections, they use vendors, i.e. printers, P.O. boxes, and things of that nature, closest to their clients at the time. So that is why we ended up with the P.O. box, you know, in Oregon in terms of the material sent there. And I hope you don't think that I say this, you know, for the entire process, because sometimes I feel as if the task force, I'm trying to deliberately derail this election process, and that's not the case at all. And we just see transparency and in compliance in different ways, it seems, because I believe having the actual copy of each of the ballots, having their report and their results that can be audited, fact-checked, and things of that nature is a transparent process. And so that's my response. And in terms of, you know, whether or not we can, you know, observe there, I gave the option. The option is we don't have them do the count of the paper ballots. We do that ourselves. Instead of having them do it.
Okay, Lauren?
Janet, may I just follow up?
For 30 seconds.
Yeah, so there has been discussion on this committee and with you about having a verification of the ballot count at the stations. In other words, the ballots would then be sent, you know, after Simply Voting does it, then they would be sent to the stations and there would be a verification using Choice Plus Pro. What's the status of that?
I've always said that. I've always said that we have one that not only the digital file, but then at the end of the election, because I believe it's a requirement for Pacifica that they keep that the secretary keep copies of the physical ballot. And I said early on, not only do we have all of that information, but we'll have the actual ballots and the audit trail to be able to run a recount or audit on the results. I've always said that.